living, I was, you know, evacuated on like, oh, the...
They say there's a fire
16th,
you know, from Signal Hill. I'd Hill and
I'd moved there.
Wow, and then I...
I've been here about 36 years, and I've never seen this kind of devastation.
Place. We all are creatures on the same place.
In all your years, how long have you been a vet?
I've been here since 1978. I've been here about 36 years, and I've never seen this kind of devastation.
Welcome to Curious Lightning. I'm your host, Dakota Clearwater Lacroix. In Chapter 2, Diary of a Fire, we're going to call this one The Great Pet Rescue. Humans have suffered greatly with these natural disasters lately. But on this day, I was reminded that there's other creatures. There's other animals, there's other beings that are affected as well. Today's Curious Lightning attempts to thread together the stories of different people with different relationships to animals, all based around these fires. As I moved in closer to the Rising Eagle Fire, I came upon a group of ladies and their animals. And we'll pick it up from here.
So
you want them to tell you? I don't know his name.
But the Forest Service gentleman's racing back in.
He's
and he just got out.
He just got out to get these four cats and two dogs. And he's going back in to get their other cat. They have a couple, or a woman that's staying with them that lost her house up in Bulky Hill.
I was evacuated on the 16th from Bulky Hill. I had moved there because my partner and I had broken up, and I had moved there to live. I was living in a cabin on somebody else's property, paying them rent, and the Bulky Hill fire came through. I heard so fast and so hot that you know, we couldn't have gotten away if we'd wanted to, but we had two days fortunately to be able to get out. And Sam and April, They sent me a text again, because that seems to be the preferred way of communication, and told me to come stay there, that I was welcome, and they welcomed Garrett and I and Percy, who can be a jerk, and he's my cat, and June. They welcomed us with open arms, like we were long lost family, and it's probably the most comfortable I'd felt in almost a month, finally, to be in a comfortable, loving spot.
Leslie moved her in with us, her and Garrett, and their dog and cat. Like, she's already devastated. Oh my God.
You know, I found out that they couldn't get the pets out, and my brain just started, of course, imagining all the things that are gonna happen. They're stuck inside, they can't get out. And it's terrifying just even to think about it, that these little beings that are dependent upon you are gonna die horribly. So yeah, it was kind of emotional.
Carlton and our boss has a boyfriend who's a smoke jumper, and she was like, we got to her house and she was like, go home right now, the hoot and holler. Just a fire blew up on the other side by the Methodist Church in your district, and we were like, crap. So we raced home. They wouldn't let us in at that end, and I was like, I live there. I have to get our pets out. We got to get the animals. And they were like, no, nobody's going around. You got to turn around. So we thought, if nothing else, we'll just run through the field and get them. But this man is nice enough. I just wish we would have been here to grab them in the first place, so people don't have to like try and risk their life for.
That, yeah, the timing of it, you can't change.
There's just nothing you can't do. There was nothing you could do. There was no way we could even know this. It's okay.
We got almost all of them so far. Okay,
just one more.
We're good.
You got the call from them, from your friends. Were they telling you in the midst of it what was going on?
Yeah, I actually got the call from Kel, my son, my oldest son, first. You know, he said that the level 3 evacuation on your house is, and they're not letting people in. Is there anything I can do? Did you know? And I'm sitting in the back of the truck driving along on the way from Bellingham, and it's like, what? Oh my God, what? And then I got a hold of, I texted April, and she texted back to me that, that they're evacuating and they won't let us in, and that she would get back to me as soon as she could, and that of course always puts you on edge because now you're really waiting.
We're waiting for
one more
the park. Was it Forest Service or
Forest
Park
Service?
Forest Service. In his pickup truck to, yeah. He's checking on what, another dog right now.
One more cat
in the house.
One last cat in the house.
And did he say what the status of the house was?
Uh-uh.
Was there
he
any
said
idea?
He'll try. He said, I'll try. Let me go back and look. So I don't know what the situation is.
I know they've evacuated everybody, all the people out of there.
Yeah.
And I saw a bunch of sheriff's trucks going that way. So I'm
yeah, I did as well. Yeah. It You could tell it just caught everybody off guard, right? Right,
yeah.
In the backyard of the base camp.
So here I am in the middle of the road with these group of strangers waiting. But the fire is not waiting. The fire is raging on. And in the distance, we're waiting to see if this park ranger is going to be able to rescue another animal. Time suddenly just slows down and almost stops. This uncomfortable awkwardness in a way of I don't know what to do and how to act and we're waiting, and so I want to tell them it's going to be okay, but I don't know that it's going to be okay, and it makes me think of that Einstein quote, the one where he talks about there's no place in this kind of physics for both the field and the matter. For the field is the only reality. And it made me think, if this is my reality, right here, right now, in the field, what else is going on that I can't see?
And when it started, I was actually over on the Eastside County Road working on a cow. And I said, that looks like flames. And by the time we got done, I drove from there up to Dave and Shauna Hicks, and we could see the flames, and we saw that first building go up in flames. And Terry called me and said, Cindy wants to borrow the truck and trailer to go up Signal Hill. And I said, no, she can borrow the truck and trailer, but you're not going up Signal Hill. And I guess they walked the horses around to where Rick Avery lives and got them loaded in and moved down.
And when I kept saying to everybody, you know, we're evacuating everybody, better safe than sorry, because we know how fast this all moves. And that's where I didn't question at all what I was doing the whole time. I didn't question when I called Dave and Susan. I was like, they looked worried and there's fire, so I better call and find out what's happening. And I got to Catherine's, and it was very clear that something was coming quickly, and you don't wait until somebody tells you to get your animals out, to get out, you get out. Right as we were driving all the animals out, the police and the fire and everybody, they were coming in to tell us to get the heck out of there. And there was a cat and a bird also. I don't think they were able to capture the cat, but the bird ended up in the Sprinter that was full of stuff. So I ended up with the dogs, and another car was full of dogs, and then there was another car that had dogs in it. I'm in a tennis court with a bunch of dogs, and the world's burning up again, and this is unbelievable. This is unreal.
And we were right at that point in coming over the pass, over North Cross, that we were going to lose service any time now. And, you know, every text or call that came in was a blessing and a curse all at the same time, because you wanted information, but you didn't. And it's just very, very stressful. And we were all worried. I was driving over with Janet and Garrett, and
it's amazing how important information becomes, right, yeah, through all of this.
Yeah. Which is, and it's so hard right now because, well, this whole thing, the misinformation has been so bad. It's like if you're not seeing it on paper with an official letterhead on it, you can't trust it. So that's why I was disbelieving when Kel first told me, and I had to get a second opinion or a second information from April, because I couldn't believe it.
Because you're constantly waiting.
And in the sense of not being able
not
to
yet.
Do anything.
I'm waiting for Percy before I call Leslie. Leslie has just lost everything. Leslie Young.
Know.
She's had Garrett at our house for the last couple of weeks, and we've been trying to help them pick back up. You know, they've just been through all this devastation and now this. She just texted me. She's over in Seattle. And she said somebody had called her and said the Hootenhauer was, there was a fire in the Hootenhauer. And so, you know, at the time we were racing down the other road, and I said, I can't talk to you right now. We're going to get Juniper. Don't worry.
It was a culmination of frustration and impotence, and just there's nothing you can do except sit and think and cry and turn the music up loud, because it'll drown out all the thoughts in your head, and you know, hold hands and be together. And it was scary.
I was at the barn at the business meeting. You know, and we were talking about how do we rebuild as a town, as a community. And here it is again, you know, like we knew that it was a risk still, but, you know, you try and pick up the pieces and then it kicks you.
Yeah.
It's kind of a nightmare right now.
Well, I think we're also realizing everything has a timing to it, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Right? Whether I want the fire, I don't want to breathe smoke
right
anymore, but now I'm hearing until the snow flies.
Right.
I'm a chain smoker suddenly.
I know.
Mother Nature. What's your brand? You know?
I know.
Well, it's Carlton.
Carlton.
Why I was there, because Susan Dave's dogs were there, and they'd been evacuated from their house. Dave and Susan had helped me evacuate my animals from my house, not even realizing that their house would be the next to burn hours later after mine. Just, you know, no idea. Just random irony throughout this whole situation. And yeah, here I was in Mazama with dogs in a tennis court. No one would have ever told me that.
Leslie has a relationship with fire right about now, does she? Doesn't
yeah
she, right? The
yeah
poor woman's lost one house already.
Yep. Totally to the ground. She just lost everything. And now this. God, like how much can a person take, you know? It's gonna be okay. It's gonna be okay.
I see him pulling out, I think right now, a white pickup truck.
Yeah.
Are you in the first dirt drive?
Yep.
I see him coming. This is the same guy. The Park Service law enforcement ranger just returned with the last cat for these ladies whose animals were trapped in the building.
Oh, God. What is your name?
My name's Greg.
Thank
yep
you, Greg.
Gotta get out of the
Greg,
room,
these
guys.
Ladies appreciate, I think, what you did.
You betcha.
Thanks.
Okay, I'll let you guys call me. I'm out of the house.
Okay, I gotta go.
And just like that, the situation was over. These pets had been rescued. This ranger had been the hero. And these ladies were gone. And then the ranger was gone. Yet the fire was right there. There was no time to ponder any of it. So only would I find out after the fact that I knew of at least three families who had been burned out of their homes with their animals. And in this very fire, those three families were once again being threatened by fire. I just couldn't fathom this. Twice, these fires had chased these people and their families. I'd really like to dramatize this and say I was there for this amazing pet rescue and saw the man kick in the door and flames were everywhere and happy kitties and dogs, and yet it was just a lot of tension and stress and the moment frozen in time as you waited with little perspective as the flames were eating up the forest. And all you could do is wait and hope for the best. While this person, highly specialized and highly skilled, did what they could. And it all turned out well. Yet I was still wondering after the fact. There's gotta be other animals and other stories. I was curious, so I went to find one of the local vets.
That we have in here, there's six of them. All have been displaced by the fire somehow. Some of them very recently were evacuated out of an abundance of caution from up the Twist River. And then one of them, her house burned down up Bulky Hill, and she's been with us ever since while her owner figures her things out. So we've had dogs here too, and we had a lot of horses. I don't even remember how many horses came through here. 22, I guess. And the initial Carlson complex got really big.
That's the voice of Aaron, who assists the veterinarians here at the clinic.
What we've been seeing is a lot of people that, you know, were able to get their animals out, but now they don't really have an adequate place to keep them. One woman was keeping six of her cats in a bathroom in a guest house where she was staying and had to end up deciding to rehome four of them because that's no way to live for who knows how long. You know, just people realizing they're running out of pet food. They don't know where to get any, so we've had a lot of people come and take advantage of the donated food that has been here. And then just the stories that we've heard of people who's, you know, didn't quite make it out in time and their pets were a little bit injured, burned, and or had to be put down because of that, and that's been really hard to see. This is Josie.
And so what, I see a lot of cats right now, mm-hmm. So right, like domesticated animals, but what about some of the wild animals or like you said, the range animals even, like what's been going on kind of in the cattle world or like outside of just the normal cats and dogs, what have you seen?
Just because of the nature of livestock like cattle, we haven't seen much here. What you do for them if, you know, if they were burned or injured, and it's treatable, the ranchers are able to do a lot of that themselves. So what we've been seeing is a lot of requests for medical supplies and things that they can administer on their own. But we've heard reports of, you know, half of someone's herd was lost, and they're still counting and trying to clean up in the hills. So that's really hard to hear about. There's word and worry about who's going to go out of business because of it as far as some people that run cattle, and that's you know, really hard to hear about.
The worst thing we've had has been obviously the cattle loss. There's two horses missing, but they think they've been seen that got out when the fire, and those people got their third horse out and it had a minor burn. That's the only burn we've seen on a horse.
What effects are you seeing on the animals? Do they seem traumatized, or
I believe some of the animals we have seen are traumatized from this. Yes, I know some of the cattle are. Most of the horses that we've moved in the fire like that, were all very excitable. And, you know, the effects of this fire are, you know, you keep hearing it, but they're going to be for years. They're not going to have summer rains and a lot of hay burnt in this. You know, we had one client, they saved her little house, but she lost her hay and her barn and everything.
And what about you guys? How are you guys holding up?
Well, other than, like we were in at 5 yesterday, other than getting tired occasionally. And that first week, Terry and I were out 4 or 5 nights between 11 and 2. And evacuating, or one night, some friends of ours had to leave. And 1:30 in the morning, they're knocking on our bedroom window. Are your bedrooms open? And the thing that I like the least about it is the fact that I lost a good friend in Rob. I'd known Rob since he's been here, Kazuski. And I'm just glad we haven't lost anybody else. But it's been an experience. There is no doubt, and it's gonna, like I say, the effects on the livestock are gonna carry over for years. The only, you know, I haven't heard, I've only heard of one couple that lost 4 dogs.
I know that some people lost pets because there wasn't enough time, and I'm so sad, and my grief for them is deep. I was lucky to get my animals out, and that's one thing that I can share with my children that gives them solace during this time, but I just can't even imagine losing pets as well.
June is with me all the time now. I don't leave the house with her. Today was the first time that I've been any place without her since last Friday. And of course, I was pretty certain before I left to go to Bellingham that the place was safe too, otherwise I wouldn't have left her. And but where I'm at now, I'm crossing my fingers that there won't be anything happening in between now and the time I get home.
For me and my husband, we live up the valley, and we're just constantly bringing our dog with us everywhere we go because, you know, we're pretty safe right now. We feel okay, but it's still in the back of our minds. What's happening to everyone else could just as easily happen where we live.
The day that I saw my house for the first time after it burned, what was left of it, at the bottom of my road, as we were driving up, I looked down and I saw an animal moving and realized it was a porcupine whose quills were completely burned off. And it just turned around and looked at us and then kept walking away. We're thinking, yeah, that's what we all kind of feel like right now. Yeah, we've had our quills burned off and there's just, you know, all that's left is our humanity, our community.
A very special thanks to everybody who participated in the show and gave their voices, gave their hearts, and gave their spirits in these very difficult times. For you, I am grateful. And a special thanks to the larger community. Keep sharing your stories. You can share them online at Curious Lightning at Facebook or KTRT. Or simply keep the conversation alive with a friend, a neighbor, a stranger. Spark in the Revolution created this original soundtrack for this episode. Curious Lightning is made possible by KTRT and Friends of the Root. Be well, be in touch, and be curious. We'll see you then.